This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
May nothing but the truth leave your lips as you deliver the gospel to the people.
Amen.
Sit up, please.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slave to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death, and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces and will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he has He was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. True gospel of the Lord.
Praise the Lord, the word of the light. Thank you. I say good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I like fruit. I've come to like some kinds of fruit almost as much as I like dessert. There's nothing like a good juicy grapefruit. And watermelon, wow. When you get one good ripe one, I'm fairly certain that those will be served in heaven, watermelon.
Right.
I have fruit juice as well. One of my favorites since I was a kid is half apple and half grape. Well, before you make a run to the grocery store, I'm going to get on with today's sermon. Jesus said that we would know people by their fruits. He said that we should be producing plenty of good fruit in our own lives. Some people produce a lot of fruit in their lives, but most of it is bad fruit. They get results, but not the kind you really want. We may find ourselves making excuses for the lack of good fruit in our lives. Well, I'm too busy to bother with that. I don't have time to plant, water, cultivate, or nurture the fruit that should be growing in my life. Or maybe we think we are incapable of producing the good fruit that is needed in our lives. We say, I could never do that. I'm just not good with words. Or, I need my sleep. I can't wake up that early in the morning to spend time with the Lord. Whatever our excuses might be for not producing the good fruit that Jesus wants from us, there's a name for them. Fruit Loops. Instead of doing God's will and pursuing whatever it takes to help us grow, we come up with loopholes to avoid the responsibility of growing fruit in our lives. Well, Fruit Loops won't cut it. We must have the real fruit in our lives so we can make a positive impact on the world and so we can please our Creator. Besides, there are already enough Fruit Loops in the world today.
Bye.
God's people in this community are called to be fruit producers, not fruit loops. Jesus made it clear, only good trees bear good fruit, only bad trees bear bad fruit. People will know what kind of tree we are, from the fruit they see in our lives. Our identity is revealed by what is seen in our lives. And here's the main idea I'd like to discuss today. We must produce much good fruit in our lives if we ever hope to make a difference in the lives of others. But how can we get the good fruit to grow in our lives? Today, let's look at certain types of fruit and discuss how to grow the good stuff. Number one, undesirable fruit. Somebody once said, forbidden fruit is responsible for many a bad jam. The first forbidden fruit we see is in the Garden of Eden, when God said, don't. Of the thousands of wonderful things Adam and Eve could have enjoyed in the garden, they desired what was forbidden. There's a book titled, The Grass is Always Greener Over the Septic Tank. Yeah. Some things can look so good and desirable, but underneath is a filth and stench, something repulsive and disgusting. From Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Now, apples seem to be one of the most common fruits, so I may have some comparisons with different kinds of apples to show some of the bad or undesirable fruit that we must guard against in our lives. First, sour apples. These speak of bitterness and unforgiveness. Maybe someone offended you. You allowed that to make you bit hard and bitter. Gossip is one thing that can breed sour apples. However, from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it warns against allowing any root of bitterness to spring up, causing trouble. It says that bitterness not only affects you, but it is harmful to those around you as well. When we are bitter, it affects our spouse, our children, our friends, and our acquaintances. It's so easy to spread bitterness. God will not bless bitter people, and He will not bless a bitter church. If you find yourself allowing bitterness to grow in your heart, please don't let it grow anymore. Call on the Lord. Ask Him for the help and grace to forgive the persons you have difficulty with. Then according to Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew 18. Go and make things right with them. Throw out the sour apples from your life and don't become one. That's just rotten apples. This may speak of impurity, but it might also speak of relying on old fruit. Maybe we did something for the Lord in the past. We often remind him of it. However, he wants fresh fruit in our lives, not dehydrated or rotten fruit. Keep it fresh. In relation to impurity, if we allow impure thoughts and influence to stay in our minds and in our lives, then it will begin to have a harmful effect on us. If you ever watched an apple go bad, it starts as a little spot, but spreads throughout the rest of the apple. What happens when you have a rotten apple mixed in with a bunch of good ones? Do the good ones have the power to change the rotten one? No. You have to get rid of the rotten one, or the rot will spread to all the apples. Likewise, we must confess and get rid of anything in our lives that does not please God. We must guard our influences and not harbor a secret part of our lives. Sin needs a place to hide. Do not provide one. Wormy apples refers to pride in our lives. I think of Herod in Acts chapter 12. The people of Tyre and Sidon were really buttering Herod up because he had apparently been very angry with them. Now, they were lobbying his favor because their food supply came from his country. So one day, kind Herod put on his royal apparel, sat down on his throne, and gave a speech to the people of Tyre and Sidon that would have put anyone to shame. In response, the people began to stroke his ego, shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not a man." And immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. Pride is like one of those worms eating into our spirit. We begin to think too much of ourselves and say, you know, God's pretty lucky to have me on his side. In fact, I really don't know what he would do without me. Where would this church be without me? While I would never downplay the important role that each member plays in Christ's church, I would also caution us to watch for worms. It's time you start thinking more of yourself than you ought to think. Remember the worms. Don't let pride come in and ruin the good fruit that God's growing in your life. Bruised apples. This may refer to someone who has fallen away from God, just as an apple falls away from the tree. Perhaps there is someone who has fallen from grace and is no longer in fellowship with God. Whatever may have caused that fall, it is likely that the fall caused some bruises, and it hurts to be away from God. Maybe you're not sure how to get back on the tree of life. Maybe you're not sure if God even wants anything to do with you anymore. Please, let me assure you that God wants you back. He loves you with everlasting love. The Bible tells us that God is married to the backslider. That means that he still wants those who have walked away from him to come back and be reconciled with him. Listen to what Jesus said he came to do from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to comfort and provide for all who mourn. Does this sound like a God who doesn't want you? Believe me, he loves you, accepts you, and will welcome you back if you will call on him. If this is you, aren't you ready to come back home? You may have fallen, but you can get up. Jesus will heal your hurts and set you on the right path again. No apples. Jesus spoke of good fruit and bad fruit, but he also spoke of the lack of fruit in Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, I'll cut it down. It is not in God's plan to have fruitless followers. However, I do see a warning and a second chance here." 3 years of barrenness had gone by. The owner noticed that the tree was always taking, but never giving. It was always using up the ground, taking up space, and enjoying the nourishment and attention from the keeper. But never did it give any fruit in return. The parallel is indeed frightening. Do we get so self-absorbed that we never reach out to help others? Is it all about us? Do we have the audacity to gobble up everything provided to us from the Master's hand and rarely share it with those who are going without? We have so much to offer, but are we offering it? What should we do if we find ourselves with no apples, bearing little or no fruit for the Lord? We should start by offering ourselves to Him in a new way and asking Him to help us produce fruit in our lives, because He is willing. We. The warning from the passage is that trees that do not bear fruit will be cut down. The second chance is that the keeper gardener wants a little more time to work with the tree. He wants to dig around it, fertilize it, water it, and see if it will indeed produce fruit. If it does not produce, it will be cut down. God wants to stir up the soil around our hearts and fertilize it. As any farmer can tell you, fertilizer can be kind of stinky. The keeper of our hearts may allow painful or stinky situations to come our way to help us grow and bear fruit. We can either complain about the smell, or we can grow, ripe, or grow. Which will you choose? Let's choose to be productive. God will give the increase of fruit in our lives if we ask Him. Now, let's take a look at what the good fruit is. Good fruit. Good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. From James chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness. There are two perspectives on the fruit of righteousness. First, righteousness itself is fruit, which is evident in a Christian because of Christ's work on the cross. A Christian is righteous in standing before God. In fact, the very righteousness of Christ has been given to the believer. God sees us as righteous as His own Son. Jesus became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. What a trade. Sin for righteousness. Filth for purity. Sorrows and sickness for the joy of the Lord. I think we got the better deal. Second perspective of the fruit of righteousness is that Christ's righteousness produces fruit in our lives. If we are righteous, there will be good results in our lives. Our conduct will reflect the goodness of Christ. Our attitude will reflect the character of Christ. Our words and manner of life will testify to the righteousness of Christ. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, from Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things are natural expressions of people who have the Holy Spirit living in them. It should become natural for a Christian to love, to be joyful, to have peace, to be patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. When we align ourselves with the Spirit of God, we will see these kinds of results. Fruit of souls, from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteousness of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. From Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Christians are designed to reproduce new Christians. Life begets life. If we have the life of Christ in us, then it should be contagious enough to spark life in others as we humbly share the good news with them. Maybe they're thinking, I already know that I need to bear more good fruit, but how do I do it? Let's look at a few keys to growing good fruit. At least three things are needed to grow good fruit in our lives. Number one, willingness. Are you willing to let God use you? Are you willing to make some sacrifices? It may cost you your personal ambitions, time, finances, energy, along with other things. Are you willing to be inconvenienced for the Lord's work? Are you bold enough to pray? Whatever it takes, Lord. Number two is compassion. Seeing people's real value and need. Seeing people's real value and needs as God sees them. Empowerment enabled to be a witness to others of what Jesus has done in your life. Acts chapter 1 through 8. God wants to use you for his eternal purposes. Reaching the lost and ministering to those in need. This is all part of bearing fruit. John 15 speaks of the need for pruning so we can bear more fruit. There Jesus says, and if a tree bears no fruit, then it is taken away and cast into the fire. However, if it bears some fruit, then God prunes it so it can bear more fruit. I don't know about you, but I need constant pruning by the Lord. I can safely speak for the American church as a whole. We need to become desperate. We need to become desperate for God and quit relying on ourselves or our source of income. Our energies and resources need to be channeled into bearing fruit instead of squandering God's blessings on ourselves. The exciting but painful news is that God is doing it. He is calling his people away from materialism and self-indulgence. He is shaking his church, getting us ready for a great harvest. Yes, evil will increase, but where sin abounds, there grace abounds even more. Are you ready for your harvest? Are you ready for battle? The lines have been drawn and the workers and warriors are preparing themselves. Are you ready to fight? Or would you rather stay home? Let's invite God to prune away our selfishness, laziness, apathy, greed, pride, and selfish wants. Create in me a clean heart, O God. How is fruit coming in your life? Are you producing fruit by living a life that pleases God and help people? Maybe God has been digging around your roots, trying to stimulate growth, make it uncomfortable, but it is absolutely necessary. Maybe he's in the process of pruning the extra branches from your life. This too is painful, but must be done. If you will cooperate with God, let his work take effect in your heart, you will begin producing more fruit than you ever thought possible. Today is Pastor Appreciation Day. Let me share with you a few things that affect a pastor in his heart. Here are a few things that will break a pastor's spirit. Murmuring will break a pastor's spirit. Discord will break a pastor's spirit. Division will break a pastor's spirit. Gossiping people will break a pastor's spirit. Liars will break a pastor's spirit. Lukewarm people will break a pastor's spirit. Unreasonable people break a pastor's spirit. Unfaithful people will break a pastor's spirit. Rolling eyes will break a pastor's spirit. Hurtful words will break a pastor's spirit. Here are a few things that will bless a pastor's spirit. Loving word will bless a pastor's spirit. A kind thank you will bless a pastor's spirit. A call in the middle of the day will bless a pastor's spirit. A card for no reason will bless a pastor's spirit. An invite to dinner without ulterior motives will bless a pastor's spirit. A well-placed amen will bless a pastor's spirit. A love offering will bless a pastor's spirit. People who volunteer will bless a pastor's spirit. Faithfulness on Sundays will bless a pastor's spirit. Doing what you say you'll do will bless a pastor's spirit. William and I are lovers of people. You can't be in the ministry without being lovers of people. Another thing you need to understand about today is it's not only about me, but it's also about him. For we're a team. I hold the office of pastor, but we share the many responsibilities together as a team. We both hold the office to some degree. We may not hold the office, but he shares the responsibilities with me. I could never do what I do without William and his help. With and for me. In many ways, he is pastor with me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn.
You are.
But these are just the facts. We give out of our own pockets for the church and people in the church. We pastor and work hard, regular jobs without church salaries. We give of ourselves when no one else in the church will.
Amen.
We provide when others could have, but would not. We prepare for services as though there'd be 100 or thousands of people in service, and only a few show up. But something about pastors is, if we did this for money, we would be among the greatest fools in the world. If we did this for fame, we would be the saddest persons in the world. But we do it because of the call of God. I know the disappointments of a pastor, but still feel the call of God so strong in my life that I couldn't not heed the call. That's part and parcel of what separates a man called and a man desiring. I've seen men who desire the ministry and who are called to the ministry, called to the ministry. Men who desire can always quit, but men who are called cannot quit. They have nothing really to quit to if they want any kind of satisfaction in life. As a pastor, I realize that I am first and foremost a man. I have my ups and downs, my ins and outs, my goods and bads. But there is a call of God upon my life that drives me onward to fulfill that call of God. Scripture tells us that the pastor is a gift to the church. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 says, I will give you pastors according to my heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. There's a great need for pastors to be appreciated and for pastors to be prayed for, supported, and encouraged. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 12, we read, but Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, and one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. You understand what's going on, don't you? Well, Moses, the pastor, has his hands up worshiping God, the army of Israel prevailed in battle. But when Moses couldn't hold up his hands for the weight of his arms, the army of Israel would start losing. But when Aaron and Hur, they signified the church, saw to his needs, set support for him, held his arms up in prayer, and the army of Israel prevailed. It's the same way for the church of today. The pastor is like the Moses of the church, and Aaron and Hur are the church members. When the church acts like Aaron and Hur, then the pastor is blessed, and the church prevails in the battle. When the pastor has to deal with little insignificant, snippy things of the day, and the battle begins to wane, especially if the church is not praying for supporting and encouraging the pastor. They lose sight of what the battle is all about. The battle is about the souls of mankind and the equipping of the saints. The pastor and the church have to be busy about the Father's business, the business of souls. Aaron and Hur supported Moses. Folks, it's good to find a way to support your pastor. Pray for a way to support your pastor. You'll be blessed for it. Your church will be blessed for it. Your pastor will be blessed for it. You help me hold my hands up by loving me, praying for me, supporting me, and loving me in spite of my humanity. Understand, praying doesn't mean praying about me or praying upon me, but praying for me. A pastor's responsibility is far greater than yours as a Christian, for the responsibility is to watch over your souls. Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Amen.
Amen.
It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announcements.
set it down. There you go.
All right. The announcements here. Okay. So, did you know that we have two podcasts?
Two?
Yes, there are two podcasts here at the Dallas Universal Life Church. We have Your Path with Bishop Mark, which is just the regular services and the full length, everything that you would find every, if you came here on Sunday. And then we also have our Life Lessons with Bishop Mark, where little snippets, little fun, good life lessons for people to have in their lives on a day-to-day basis. So check those both out. I think they're both great.
Come and check them out.
Now, the way you can check those out are just by simply going onto DallasUSC.com and going to the podcast page, or you can always just use Alexa and say, Echo, play Your Path.
Welcome back to Your Path.
And then they'll play Echo, stop. All right. And, you know, you can listen either on your phone, computer, or on Alexa, if you
want
to.
What if I don't have Echo or Alexa? How do I find these podcasts?
You can check out any of our providers that we do have on the back of our programs here. Namely listed, there's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Pandora, or Amazon Music.
Also, you can do a search, your favorite browser.
Plasticity, you can also click up on DallasUSC.com.
Correct. Best way to go is DallasUSC.com. Very good. Thank you.
Very good. Best way. All right. Prayer request. We pray every day here at Dallas Universal Life Church. And if you have a prayer request, please send to pray@DallasUSC.com or go to DallasUSC.com and click on the prayer request. There you can submit your request. And it could be for the prayers of intercession. It could just be for everyday prayers. You can decide that and let us know, and we'll put you in. For sure, we'll pray for you. All right. You can make a difference, donate at DallasUSC.com. And you can go to click the donate button, and donating would help with the everyday functions of the church, or anything that, you know, the church might need, wise, because candles are expensive, if you guys didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we use them every single service, so it's a lot. So we need your donations. If you feel like what we're doing here is a good thing, that if you believe that, you know, God is all loving and that He supports everybody and loves everybody, and you follow that same motif that the church follows, please consider donating to DallasUSC.com. Just go to the website and click donate. So. From what I hear from Pastor Mark, he always has people that come up and say, hey, I don't have any money to donate. Is there any way that I could donate in any way, other way? So you could just volunteer. Volunteering is a great thing for the church. It's probably the most important thing for the church other than money, probably. It's the way that we get things done here. Without volunteers, things would just take a lot longer. It'd be a lot more stress, a lot more. And it is Pastor Appreciation Month. So, everyone, volunteer. You can go to www.dallasusc.com. Click on volunteer. There you'll find a list of different jobs or anything that, you know, you might want to decide. If you don't like anything on that list, just come on in, talk to Mark. You'll find something for you to do. We always got a lot of stuff to do. Not everything gets done. Yeah, dallasusc.com. Volunteer. All right. Compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints. If you have those, you're going to need one of these. An email address is feedback@dallasusc.com, or you can always go on to the Dallas UNC website, of course, and click on Contact Us. All right. If you have any sort of concern or any sort of problem or, you know, just a suggestion, so don't mind us sending us an email, or you can always just talk to Mark about it. He's always great to always just have an ear for it. All right. It's Pastor Appreciation Month, and it is also Pastor Appreciation Day. Today is the day.
Thank you.
Appreciate your pastor, because he appreciates you every day.
One.
No. Just sit down. could have a kid with you. Hey, mom, you do that.
I need to get a beanie just like that.
It looks like I have a beard there. It's just the pictures that surround my chin.
It's the shadow. It's 3 inches.
Oh, okay. Go.
How long was that video?
20 seconds, I think.
Oh, and why was it 20 seconds?
Because it takes 20 seconds to actually get rid of the virus, or is it 30?
20.
Okay. Just maybe. Mm-hmm. 20 seconds. If you get rid of the coronavirus and wash away anything like nasty or dirty or that can be compared to anything.
It takes 20 seconds for you to get all the viruses or anything that's we growing on your hands, that coronavirus or monkeypox or anything like that, the flu. It takes 20 seconds for that to come off your hands, and if it's not off your hands, then you can touch your mouth, your nose, any sort of orifice, you're going to get it. It's getting bad, people out here. Like, people need to realize that, like, sickness is no joke. And you end up in the hospital, you will realize that, like, maybe I should have washed my hands for 20 seconds.
Curious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, sitting there in bed with all those pieces of tissue, and you're like, it's really miserable, you say, dang, if I only would have just washed my hands for 20 seconds, maybe I wouldn't be like this.
Seven?
Okay. Oh, gosh. I messed up again. All right. You walked in all timers.
Yeah.
How many days is it?
27.
Yep. Okay. It's only 27 days away.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming faster and faster and faster every day. It'll be here tomorrow. Okay.
It's a few weeks.
Literally. It went from 96 to like 27 and like boom. Alright. So walk to down Dog Patterns. It is on October 4th.
That's November.
Our walk. November?
Oh yeah.
My bad. I can't see what all
it's November the 4th, that's right.
I know it's November.
That's right. I love you.
Please, if you want to walk with us, go online to that link up there, it's very long, it's http://go2/ULC. Or you can always just go on to DallasULC.com because you don't feel like typing all that in and click on the walk to end all time or something. Because that's so much easier than typing all that. Just say, go to DallasULC.com. Okay. But yes, it's only 27 days away. If you want to walk with us? If you want to walk with us, you can always go online and sign up. If you can't walk with us or you can't make it, please consider sponsoring one of us or sponsoring just a group in general by going on to the Walk In Dog Timers page on DallasUSC.com.
Donate.
You can pick one of your favorite congregants to support or sponsor. Stop clicking.
Or your favorite pastor or bishop or whatever.
Or you could do the whole group as a whole. You don't have to support any individual person. But if you did, please be me, because I really have a
McCurdy.
I'm up here doing these announcements, so I have a sense. It's my plug here. Look at it. Alright. Okay. And we're here at the dismissal.
A bishop a day keeps the devil away. You're listening to Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas.
So what do you like, what do you not like, what do you want to keep, what do you want to get rid of? I'll tell you what I want to get rid of. Not having a voice.
Amen to that.
It's gotten better. If y'all just not make me yell so much, you wouldn't have this problem, guys.
I guess.
Who did that?
What do you mean? I'm innocent. I don't know who suggested
it. Every week, I get a good sound bite from you from that. Every week. Thank you, Don.
Burp.
No, thank you.
It actually was the loudest thing on there.
Right over the microphone. Thank God it's not smell-o-vision.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord.
So what are we talking about today?
You.
We appreciate you. Partially, thank you. What about the first part? What about that part about
It's apples.
Fruits.
It's fruit.
I don't know, but I've been burning a lot of rotten apples. And pulling the whole bush.
It's a problem. We keep those rotten apples in our lives. It sure destroys all the good apples we've got, right? Mm-hmm. Do y'all understand the analogies there? Do you understand? I tried to make it as clear as I possibly could. To try and kind of,
crystal.
So you can envision it, you know, so what's going on in your life, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the thing that was most profound for me in that, that I enjoyed, that hit me, that it was more, hit me the most, was the part where I spoke about, God will have to dig around your roots and fertilize. It's not going to be real comfortable. You're going to feel it. You're going to hurt. You're going to lose, have loss. But it's to help you grow. That's what the whole idea of it is, to help you grow so you can, and then you're going to prune and do all that. But in the end result, that's what we're going for, is the fruitfulness that we're offering. I think that was huge for me. That really hit home for me. Go ahead.
It's, how do you determine those sort of apples in your life? Like, how do you know which one's what, and which, like, what's who could actually learn, and then who has the potential and who doesn't in your life to, like, you know, grow and have that fertilizer sort of moment. It's hard to, you can give people chances all day, but you never know when they're going to fertilize, and so that you don't know if somebody's going to, like, actually
just keep trying,
just be a completely, like, sour, like, dead apple, or if they're a worm, or if they do have that willingness to do better for themselves and better for the relationship you have with them.
You will know,
yeah,
when the apple is something you need to get out of your life. You'll know. It'll be so obvious. Otherwise, you should keep trying. If there's any hope at all, keep trying.
And sometimes it slaps you right in the face.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes it slaps you right in the face, we don't believe it. We continue to keep this apple around, right?
Yeah.
You'll know. And if you're worried about that, what do I always say about that? You pray about it. Talk to God about it. Ask Him for the wisdom. Ask Him for the, help me see these bad apples in my life so I can get rid of it. I want to be better. I want to be more fruitful. Just pray about it. Prayer is, guys, look, prayer is so strong. I know we don't do it enough. I know I don't do it enough. And I know y'all don't do it enough. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. You just have to ask. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously. I'm not saying ask for the Cowboys to win or ask for $1 million. Ask for what you need in your life. If you have doubts, ask to help you with it. If you have trouble discerning what the good apples and the bad apples are, ask him to help you with it. He will. But then you have to listen to what he says. And you know what? You're not always going to like what he says.
Nope.
But you know what? I think he probably knows best.
Yep. Better believe it. That's one thing you got to love about God. He has one of the most... Even though he has the most indirect language imaginable. Like, I think that's the primary language.
What do you mean by that?
Well, God never communicates directly. He never comes down in the cloud anymore or anything like that. He says,
how do you know?
Right, says,
how do you know?
Because.
How do you know?
Simple.
No, you know.
Just because he has it to you doesn't mean he doesn't to somebody else. Yeah. Okay. So,
just different, well, like ways. Whenever I'm losing hope or something like that, back when I was in Farmers Branch growing up,
bye, Kirkland.
I went, I will hog die you. I was walking down my normal path, and there was this tree, and just all these birds, just like doves and pigeons, and like all these beautiful birds just flew out. And I was, like, feeling unbelievably down, like, and I think that was God's way of saying, and that was the night prior.
Cheer up, you fly away, lady.
Prior to what?
Prior to the night, I was crying when I just wanted to hear God's voice, believe it or not.
Sometimes you just gotta listen for it. You're right. God's voice can be indirect, or seem to be indirect. You have to listen for it. Mm-hmm. And it takes practice. We talk all the time. There's the old cliches. When you hear God's voice in the rain, or you hear it in the ocean, you hear it. Well, you do. You do.
Yeah,
cliche or not, you do. I think that we take for granted a lot of what we see and what we hear. Guys, look, I mean, I think about this all the time. We are this little planet. You see, when we do the Hallelujah, that space thing that's going out, right? We're this little bitty planet was put perfectly into a solar system with the sun that it rotates around. A little bit too much further, it's burned up. A little further away, it's ice cold. Perfect. Here. We're living here with everything we need. We have all the food we want, water we want, we have love. We have all these wonderful things that we squander.
And don't appreciate.
And bitch about. You know, people talk about being Earth being hell. You're in hell, being on Earth. Let me tell you something. Earth is Eden. Look at the rest of the planets in our solar system alone. And then look further out than that. I mean, when you think about how big that is for our little planet to be so perfectly placed, that's huge. It doesn't happen anywhere else that we see as we've seen so far. It's amazing. And we've become so used to knowing about those things. That, oh, okay, the solar system, great, here it is. But it's amazing. Mm-hmm. If you really sit down and look at, go get a first grade or second grade science book and read it. Let me tell you something. If you look back at those things and go, wow, these were all really, these are things God created for us. It's amazing. When you have that kind of insight, when you're able to look at these things and remember that it's not just another day, that it's another beautiful day that God has created for you and you alone, and all this stuff, everything that's going on around you, even your heart beating and your lungs taking in air, it's amazing. Those are miracles, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're able to do that, your heart becomes filled with gratitude. Mm-hmm. And you're able to give that to God. And believe me, He deserves it. We should, you know, He gave us everything. It still does. All He asks is for what in return?
Our love.
Love, worship, and pray. Praise and worship God, right?
Amen.
How do we do that? Praise and worship God. How do we praise and worship God? Serve and worship God. I'm sorry. So I always get that wrong. Serve and worship God. How do we serve and worship God?
By loving each other.
Love. And love is a lot of different things, right? We're not talking about men being men and women for others, which we try to do here. You give. What do you give?
Love.
Time.
Money.
Your abilities. Those things that have been given to you, you can give to others. That's how love spreads. Those things are filled with love. They're given with love without expecting anything in return. These are gifts. Nothing in return. It's not for an ultimatum. It's not wanting anything in return. You're just giving it to them. You're done. You're taken care of. You will not need anything in your life ever again. I guarantee that's happened to me. I could give more. I sometimes feel like I have an overabundance of things, but I do try and give. And since I've changed my life and started doing that way, yeah, I may have a bill late every now and then, but my electricity didn't get cut off. There's food in my refrigerator.
When you share what you have, when you come out,
there's nothing to complain about. If there is, I did it myself.
Maybe you need somebody to push the button.
Right. Yeah. Patience is tough as a pastor. I've been told that I have the patience of, you know, whatever.
The rock of Gibraltar.
A lot of patience. I think that I disagree because I think that, you know, when it finally blows, it blows. And I'm sorry for that. But I'm human. So
and I head for the dump.
True.
She left.
I am human. Yeah, when things start flying across the room, it's probably a good idea to get out.
Is that what I heard? Okay.
Cool.
Talk to me, guys. You have anything else to say about today?
Nah.
I appreciate y'all. At the end of the sermon, y'all really kind of boosted me up. Y'all showed your enthusiasm for it, and I appreciate that.
I know. I'm great.
How's your attention? It's good to see your eyes like that when I'm looking. And I can look in your eyes and you're looking at me and you're listening. That's huge. I know you're not going to be able to do it all the time. We all have our days, right? But it's huge when I can get your attention that way.
Okay.
That leads back to the whole Moses with the arms and the hands.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. I can't do it without y'all. That's the whole point. Yeah,
I know that, but some other people don't.
There's a lot that I do. But first of all, there's no reason for me to do it without y'all, because it's for y'all. And there's no way I can do it without y'all, because y'all are holding my hands up. Because only there's times when I can't do it.
Like literally and...
literally and figuratively, exactly. Pastor Appreciation Day today, I do appreciate y'all's well wishes, I do. And the rest of the month, of course, is Pastor Appreciation Month. I think it's kind of cool. We have a Pride Month and a Pride Day, and we have a Pastor Appreciation Day, and then whatever.
Is that month for anything?
So, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed today. And then hopefully next week my voice will be better. Let's pray. Lots of honey and tea. Lots of honey and tea. All right. Mm-hmm. If y'all don't have anything else, Don's obviously has some pertinent information on that phone he's got to take care of. So,
yeah, I do.
Stay away out of here.
Sounds good to me.
I do. I did. I will.
We're touching.
That's all right. We already did it now. Make sure you use hand sanitizer.
Oh, get over it.
Father in heaven, and we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come together and worship you as we rightfully should. So many people in this world do not have the opportunity we have and are persecuted for just saying that they love you. Lord, thank you for my congregants. On this Pastor Appreciation Day, I have to try to turn that around and say, it's not just about me. It's about all of us. And it's about my congregants who are holding my hands up and holding myself up and keeping me going. Watch over us this next coming week. It's beautiful, beautiful weather. Fall has come. If anybody's going to the fair, enjoy it. Going to Jay, it doesn't rain. Keep yourself safe.
And get your voice back.
Lord, yeah. Lord, help me get my voice back. It's just driving me crazy not to be able to sing. I miss singing. And bring us all back next week for another wonderful, beautiful worship service with you. We ask all this in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. I'll see you next week. Please help me break down.
What?
Please help me break down.
What?
A pastor's responsibility is far greater than yours as a Christian, for the responsibility is to watch over your souls. Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Amen.
Amen.
Told you it was a good one.
Is it warm in here or is it just
It's warm.
Yeah, no, who made it warm? Thanks. Mm-hmm. All
right, let's get through this.
All right. Mm-hmm, no. Go tell it on the nasty.
We give thanks for all we have received, you God. Gifts of love and time.